Your anxiety is lying to you. You are loved and you are going to be okay. Dig. Welcome to the One Love Sports Show, your place for quick bites on hot sporting topics and events. I am Lance Thomas, along with Mario Pottinger, the original Rasta Hippie from Live Sports Media. What about Mario?
Nothing much. Great to hear you again.
Yes, yes. It's our final show for 2021. Any parting words?
I'm looking forward to the year coming. I'm really looking forward to the year coming.
Yes.
Last year was a rough year. Or the past 2 years have been very rough. So
yes. Yes. Looking for greater things in 2022. Okay. This is the hottest 30 minutes in all of sports, and we kick things off as usual, looking back at the week that was. Our five marquee events that we predicted outcomes for were Suns, Warriors, Lakers, Nets. Of course, Warriors and Nets took those. But in the NFL was where the real action, the real battle was. And two of the more reliable teams, Cardinals and the Patriots, had very disappointing losses last week. Any word on those games, Mario? How would you describe in one word the Cardinals and Colts game?
Unconvincing.
Yeah, unconvincing. For who?
It made me question both teams going into the playoffs. Because in terms of the Cardinals, it made me question Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler without DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes.
And with the Colts, it made me question if Carson Wentz is just fooling us. Like, are they seriously a contender?
Why would you have questioned that? Because they played well enough to overcome the Cardinals. What about Carson Wentz's performance that leads to those questions?
Because he didn't perform badly.
Yes.
And everybody has been saying it for the past couple of years that he's broken.
Yes.
He can't return to the form that he was when he was, 2016, when he was almost in the MVP
race.
That he's not only mentally broken, but physically broken as well, always getting injured. And he plays backyard football rather than football with his head. And yes, this team doesn't depend on him because they depend on Jonathan Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw this with Jimmy Garoppolo. With San Francisco, there's teams that don't have to depend on their quarterback to be a Patrick Mahomes Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
But if you can make just a few correct decisions, you can make it possible.
Yeah. So you're saying that you're wondering if he is at the level, or
if he's really at that level, or as soon as the playoffs come, he's going to.
Okay.
Unravel.
Okay. All right. Patriots Bills, where the Bills beat up the Patriots and their rush attack was the Patriots could not defend the rush. They were very weak against the rush. What are your thoughts on that game?
My thoughts on that game was disappointing. I thought the Patriots would have made it another snooze fest.
Mm-hmm.
And at least pulled out the win. I know that it wasn't going to be exactly the same as last time, but still, I expected the Patriots to put up a better fight, and it exposed the question, do the Patriots trust Mac Jones?
Yeah. And it came to four again. I mean, the concerns we have about a rookie quarterback, even within a strong system that the Patriots has, came up again because he was really exposed in that game. And in fact, in the last two games, has not been looking as good as he was before. And so going into the playoffs, these two teams are now under the radar. And even though they have been performing well so far this season, I mean, these two teams could end up not going to the playoffs. That's how close and how competitive the league is. It's unlikely that they won't make it. I mean, Cardinals just need to win one more game, and they have been needing to win one more game to seal their playoff spot from 3 weeks ago, and cannot win that one game. Patriots also need to win a game. They are battling with Bills for leadership of the AFC East. So it is very interesting in the NFL, and we're going to comment more on it, but the last week actually brought that to the fore, how competitive and how bunched up things are within the NFL at the moment. And that was the real highlight of the last 7 days in sports as far as I'm seeing it. We move to the preview of upcoming action. So, previewing action coming up, and we start as usual with the EPL, English Premier League, where we're looking at round 21 of 38, and we have Man City leading with 50 points from 20 games. It has consolidated and really stretched its lead, now 8 points ahead of Chelsea and 9 points ahead of Liverpool, who has a game in hand. But Chelsea and Liverpool have not been very convincing in the last month. Very disappointing performances, draws and losses. And as we speak of that, both teams, Chelsea and Liverpool, will be meeting this weekend in what is supposed to be a pretty interesting matchup. Your thoughts on that matchup, Murray?
This one is a bit unpredictable because Chelsea have a lot of injuries, players out with COVID, and they can barely field the 11 that they want to fit their system. And Liverpool, their players are off form. The team has become way too dependent on Mo Salah. So now that you become a one-man team, I mean, if Chelsea can just keep out Salah out of the game, I don't see Liverpool putting up much of a threat. This match might end in a draw.
That would be where the smart money is, you know, on a draw. It is really a very rough time that both teams are going through, and it's unpredictable as to what will happen. Chelsea will be hosting the game, and so you could say maybe from that perspective, maybe they have a slight edge. But it is going to be rough trying to predict the outcome for this game, and a draw may be the best bet. Arsenal, however, will ensure that Man City will not be having a snooze fest of a weekend, because they will be hosting Man City on Saturday morning to kickstart the EPL's actions. This game should be pretty interesting too, because Arsenal has been in good form in recent weeks. Maybe this will be a moment of slapping them back to reality. What do you think, Mario?
Actually, I think they have a chance to win.
Yeah, they do. Of course, the ball is round. But tell me why you think they have a chance.
For some reason, I think that they put up good performances against Man City. They don't always win, but they always perform well against City.
Yes.
And being that Arteta has been knows the Man City players himself from winning the titles with them as the assistant coach to Guardiola.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, this team steps up with it, basically. Now, again, they don't always win the match, but it's always tight. And I still see City winning 3-2, but I wouldn't be surprised if Arsenal won.
Yeah, and Arsenal tends to do this kind of thing where when you least expect it, they do show up and spring a surprise. I don't know if they are still capable of such, but cannot write them off at all. So those are the interesting games in EPL this weekend. Two really good matchups, Saturday morning to kick things off, and then Sunday midday, just before midday, to continue the intrigue within the league. The second place and third place team squaring off. Over into La Liga, the Spanish La Liga, the matchup there that I saw to point out is Atletico Madrid facing Rayo Vallecano. And Rayo Vallecano is in fourth place, just 1 point ahead of Atletico Madrid within the Spanish top division. What are we expecting from this game? Is it that Rayo Vallecano has been just punching above their weight and a match like this may just remind them of who they are?
Not necessarily. Okay. Being that Atletico aren't playing, if Atletico were playing at their best or even close to their best,
yes,
I would say yes. But the problem is Atletico don't play an open attacking style.
Yes.
So they'll keep Rayo Vallecano in the game because it's not their style to score 100 points.
Okay.
Rayo Vallecano can lose this match, but again, I wouldn't be surprised if that was.
Okay, so this is really supposed to be like some makeup games because officially the La Liga doesn't really restart until January 7th. And the same is true for Bundesliga, Serie A, and League One, going across Germany, Italy, and France. They all are resuming next weekend, January 7th. So not much going on in those leagues. Of course, the Bundesliga, Bayern is leading, very healthy lead by 9 points over Dortmund. Serie A, Inter is ahead, but only just over Milan. And in League One, PSG is dominant and the runaway leaders, 46 points from 19 games, 13 points ahead of their nearest rivals, who in this case now are Nice and Marseille. So that looks at the picture within the world of football and European football particularly. We now skip over into the NBA. For the NBA in the East, the Nets continue to pull away from the rest of the pack. And the Bulls, Bucks, Heat, and Cavaliers, surprisingly, are trying to keep a pace. And over in the West, the Warriors and Suns are tied at the top, just ahead of the underappreciated, under-the-radar Jazz, who is really just two games behind Warriors and Suns, who are more talked about, more fancied, but the Jazz is still there. Grizzlies are also there, having won recently against, I think last night against the Lakers, an epic comeback. Ja Morant is back and he is a performer. He shows up. Nuggets, Clippers, and Lakers are in the mix, but not really strong at the moment. The game's coming up. The game I'm eyeing from the next 7 days in NBA is really the Jazz versus the Warriors, which takes place on New Year's Day at 9 p.m. Your thoughts on this game, Mario? The other matchup is Titans-Dolphins, which the Dolphins, as I mentioned earlier, are on a 7-game winning streak. Titans are really trying to hang in there without Derrick Henry, but are being very resilient. This game should be very interesting. It's being played in Tennessee, and I think it's going to be a competitive game as well. What are your thoughts?
A snooze fest. Both Rabs is a good coach, but so is B-Flow.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, B-Flow has been depending on his defense, and in all fairness, Braves as well, mm-hmm. because neither offenses are high flying as they should be right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins have momentum, but I think the Titans are a better coach, and I don't trust either quarterback at the moment.
Mm.
So I see a low-scoring game of maybe 20-23, and I see the Dolphins somehow managing to pull out a win.
Oh, interesting. You're seeing the Dolphins pulling out a win. Okay, two other games I want you to give me one word for. The Packers-Vikings.
Entertaining.
Yes, I somehow feel like Vikings may be able to pull off something here. It's going to be, it's a divisional game, divisional rivalry. But
this is their Super Bowl.
Yes, and it's their do or die game too. So it should be very, very interesting. And the other game is the Bengals, Chiefs. But let me give you a choice. Do you want to take Bengals, Chiefs, or Colts, Raiders?
I'll take both, in all fairness. The Raiders and Colts, I see an easy win for the Colts. Derek Carr,
okay.
Despite the fact that they have the playoffs, I don't see Derek Carr pulling it off. I think he doesn't have the weapons.
And Bengals, Chiefs?
And Bengals, Chiefs, that one is the one that I want to watch because both offenses depend on high-flying offenses to win. But I see the Chiefs having a bit more experience than the Bengals at this point.
Okay. The Chiefs should edge that one. Okay. Good. So that concludes our look on the upcoming week of action across major sports. NFL.
Can I say one more thing about NFL overall?
Yes.
Congratulations to Big Ben Roethlisberger. Had a great career. And I hope that you beat the Browns on your final match at Heinz Field. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Ben. I mean, he has indicated that may be his last home game. And by all indications, we expect him to now go off into the sunset. He has had a real good career. Tell me, who do you would you give higher ratings to in terms of career achievement? Ben Roethlisberger or Manning?
Or Peyton Manning?
No, not Peyton Manning. Younger Manning.
Oh, Eli?
Eli Manning, yes.
Oh no, I'm giving it to Big Ben.
You're giving it to Big Ben, okay.
Yeah.
I think both of them have won two Super Bowls. But outside of Super Bowls, maybe the Super Bowls are really just the highlight of Eli's career. Outside of it, he hasn't played that well, but Ben has really been a strong tower for the Steelers over the years.
Can I make a quick simple comparison?
Mm-hmm.
Peyton Manning is the talent of the family. I think that Eli has the mentality.
Yes.
He's one of those quarterbacks like a Jimmy G. They're not the best quarterback, but like in those moments where you need somebody to be calm.
Agreed.
And step up.
Agreed.
Like Eli has that in his genes.
Agreed.
But Peyton is both talent and the mentality.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I'm not so sure. People are convinced that he has the championship mentality as much as they would give Eli more of a rating for that, because for Peyton Manning's talent, they believe he should have gotten more rings.
And the
second of his ring came, the team was carrying him, you know, rather than him contributing really. So he's thought of underachieving in many respects. So the NFL is really, really bunching up right now and looking very, very interesting. We're getting ready for the playoffs. It's a dress rehearsal time and finalizing the last remaining spots. I mean, very entertaining. I mean, anybody who has an opportunity should definitely tune in, because it's at its peak at the moment. So that concludes our look at the events coming up, and we now move over to Fast Break. Welcome to Fast Break, where we do quick takes on hot topics, burning issues from the world of sports. First thing I wanted to look at is COVID. COVID and sports. We have seen that a lot of, and it has been happening since last year when all the major sports had to adjust and make allowance for COVID and see how to carry on in spite of. And it is happening even more now, the latest strain of the virus coming out, and this one is even more contagious. Tell me, summarize what's happening there, Mario, particularly in the NFL, the NBA. Tell me what's up.
Well, I wanted to highlight the NFL's new protocols, because yes. I think that every other sport in the world is really watching what the NFL does and then saying, okay, let's see if we can do this.
Right.
The NFL, especially coming down to the playoffs now,
yes.
they've
made protocols a bit more flexible for players to come back at a quicker time. For example, just last week they said that okay, players who test positive, even if they don't have symptoms, even if they're asymptomatic, they have to be out for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Then they brought it down to 5 days.
That was influenced by the CDC. The CDC recommend that you can now come down to 5 days. That's
I know that. That's a good detail. I should have brought up that. But for the vaccinated players, they still had the 10-day rule. Then this week has come down, they said, okay, whether they're vaxxed or unvaxxed. And Aaron Rodgers brought it up on the Pat McAfee show, why are you treating them differently? So they eventually changed it. And now players, whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, after 5 days, if you can produce a negative test, you're in the game. So there's teams, for example, Kyrie Irving can travel for a week. I know that his situation is because specifically the state that he's in has specific protocols.
Right.
But I see that changing sometime soon. And in terms of the other leagues around the world, for example, the English Premier League, we see a lot of teams losing players now to COVID. I think a lot of players will return a bit quicker rather than having to wait necessarily like a 10-day period or just to be out for the weekend.
So it's a positive sign, one could say, for sports, because it's showing that we are maybe adapting better to living with COVID. And it's not being as disruptive as it was before.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, good stuff. So the other thing we wanted to mention in our fast break segment here is we want to talk about just a quick overview by a review of 2021, the year in sports. What are the three most interesting things that grabbed your attention or you could use to summarize 2021?
Well, three things I wanted to highlight, especially about sports in 2021, was the parity across worlds. We saw the NBA, a lot of people who we didn't even think were going to actually win the championship be in the finals. No one was really expecting the Suns to be in the finals. And even though there was people who wanted the Bucks to be there, most people thought that the Nets would have knocked them out in the second round. We saw playoff performances that we didn't expect from like New York and Atlanta. We saw a lot of new stars being born. We saw what the Utah Jazz did and how far they went. And the teams that we actually expected to do very well underperformed. And it wasn't just...
Continue.
Yeah, and if you look at even the NFL last year, there was parity in the NFL last year as well. Then you go over to the English Premier League and just overall sports, there's been a lot more parity in sports. Sports are a lot more competitive. Now you can, even if the match isn't against the two best teams, you can sit down and watch a match between two teams that aren't the biggest teams.
So the increase, the greater level of parity in sports now, which means that we have more competitive games, which means that we should be seeing a lot more viewership, a lot more casual fans getting in because of the increased competitiveness. We're hoping that this translates to a more vibrant commercial performance for the sporting leagues across the world.
Well, yes, and I mean, you can see it in the new streaming deals that are being signed. From League on, I think it was Amazon who is now going to give them basically every, just like the Premier League, I think every team will get like $100 million at the beginning of the season just from being in the league. So it will create more competition in League on. The NFL just released, I didn't even get to see the numbers, but the NFL just released their numbers for what they streamed for the year, and they've had an increase, especially adding an extra game. One extra game means that there's $50 million for each NFL franchise added to their the salary cap.
Yes.
Because of one extra game, each team now gets an extra $50 million.
It is massive. So the pirating sports is one thing. What other things that you noticed this year?
Two other things that I noticed it this year. I actually want to shout out Dana White of the UFC. The UFC president Dana White, most people have always pointed out the things that he's done bad over the years. There's still issues over fighter pay and if they're being paid fairly. But what people haven't given him credit for, even more so than what the NBA and NFL and even soccer has done or football has done, he managed to get sports back long before any other sport, even at the beginning of COVID, from 2020. He was still able to put out a product and made it better each time. Every fight card was better since 2020.
Yep, that has been very evident. And particularly this year, and particularly the latter half of this year, it has just been really, really good in terms of the quality. Keeps getting better, and it's saying well and saying a lot about UFC and Dana White himself as a promoter and a leader of a sporting league. The third one.
Well, the third one that I really wanted to highlight is one of the things that I noticed in 2016, 17, 18, I mean, 19, those 4 years, and I don't know if COVID forced people to do this, but I think that the world of sports has truly embraced the internet now. I know that we've always been speaking about sports on the internet, but the world of sports has now, in terms of even teams and the owners as well, have
given some examples.
Embrace social media. Examples are, for example, a small example, the Jacksonville Jaguars. They posted earlier this season, they posted a video on Twitter with a giant jaguar jumping all over their stadium, and it was an augmented reality jaguar. So it was like a digital jaguar it from your perspective, it appeared in real life.
Right.
So that was only for Twitter. That wasn't even released on YouTube. That was just for Twitter. And it was at the beginning of one of their games, and it shows that they want to interact with people on social media a lot more. They're embracing it. We're seeing organizations tweet out certain things after games. We're seeing owners being a lot more transparent. Also, they're allowing their product to be accessed by creators that aren't necessarily in the mainstream media of sports.
Okay, interesting. And then we mentioned a couple of weeks ago the Pat McAfee deal and independent media groups being able now to have good commercial prospects and don't have to depend on traditional media channels and avenues. So very, definitely very positive for the sporting world embracing the internet and leveraging it, using it to their advantage. So those are your three things. Quickly, my three things, UFC is in my three, in terms of how competitive and how engaging and entertaining it has been. Fight cards have really been pretty good, and I only stumbled upon it because you were mentioning it over the last 2 months, but really grateful for that. Next thing is a successful staging of the Olympics. I was really happy that, could have had a pretty much event free and drama free Olympics in terms of COVID. Successful staging, that was really, really a big win for sports this year. And clearly, the star of the Olympics was Elaine Thompson-Era and her performance, and then what followed after in terms of the race at up in the US with and the world drama with Shakara Richardson. I mean, it's very, very, very entertaining. Good for track and field. And Formula One, how competitive it was this year. And it was so good. The season was so good, and to leading up to the final race, I mean, it was 369.5 points each for Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen. The final race, though, and the end of the race was messed up as far as I'm concerned. Reminds me of Game of Thrones. Been a very, very, very good, to me, one of the top shows of all time, but had a very bad ending. Formula One was like that, but despite a bad ending, was very, very entertaining, the title race this year. So those are the three things that stood out for me in sports this year. So thanks for joining us on the Fast Break segment. We now move to the Super Mario Adventures.
Yay!
Welcome to Super Mario Adventures, where Mario comments on a sporting topic, event, something happening outside of mainstream news. And he gives us something very interesting, or gives an interesting take on that item. What do you have for us this week, Mario?
I have an interesting story that popped up earlier today. A former UFC featherweight, Yoshinori Horii.
Yes.
He's currently fighting in Ryzen Fight League, which is in Japan. And Ryzen Fight League is basically the UFC of Mr.
Okay.
It's one of the biggest fight leagues alongside One Championship.
Okay.
Much like you have UFC and Bellator.
Okay.
What was interesting about this story was that it showed how far, like, certain people are willing to go to follow their dreams.
Yes.
And along his journey before even reaching to the UFC, Yoshinori actually did sexual favors for money to fund this fighter.
I guess if you dig into some of the stories of athletes and people who are trying to make it, you'll find it's not so uncommon something like this to happen. Was he a prostitute? Was he a stripper?
He just gave, as far as he said in the interview, that he used to give hand jobs in Shibuya.
Okay, interesting.
Shibuya, Japan. Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay, so we could say that he's a quintessential handyman. Wow, very interesting. I've never heard that take before, that kind of service. But the things people do to realize their dreams and to pursue the career. I mean, wow. I guess people will say that it's a dirty job, and he felt he was the first to do that. But very interesting. Clearly, that would not be in mainstream news. So it's a very, very interesting one. Yes, so there we have it for Super Mario Adventures, where Mario again ventured off on.
Can I just mention one thing? He's on an 8-fight win streak, so he's actually getting closer to a championship fight. Right?
Okay, excellent. So he's been through it and is getting the rewards of his persistence and hard work. So yes, so there we have it for Super Mario Adventures. We now move to Overtime. Welcome to Overtime, where we have the overdrive in predicting key sporting events for the upcoming week. And we start 7:30 in the EPL, 7:30 New Year's Day, 7:30 in the morning, Arsenal takes on Man City. And your prediction, Mario, is?
Give me 3-2 Man City.
3-2 Man City. Then later on that same day, New Year's Day, in the evening, the Jazz will host the Warriors, the Red Hot Warriors. What's your prediction, Mario? On Sunday, the 2nd of January, at 11:30, Chelsea will host Liverpool.
Give me a 1-1 draw.
Later that day, we hop over to the NFL, where the Titans will host Dolphins, and you said Dolphins will take that 23 to 20. And then maybe the hardest of them all to predict is in the afternoon at Cowboys Stadium, Jerry's World, they will host the Cardinals.
How about them Cowboys?
Okay. Cowboys.
Yeah, give me a 35-38 scoreline.
35-38.
Okay. Yeah.
Those Cowboys would win 38-35 over Cardinals. Should be a very, very interesting game. Which one of these games are you entering into the?
Give me the Man City Arsenal. I have too much riding on the Cowboys. I have too much riding on Chelsea versus Liverpool. Mark can only take so much. So give me Man City and Arsenal.
Yeah, that may be the surest thing, eh? All right. Yes, so that ends our final show for 2021. It's been great. Sporting Action did not disappoint, has not disappointed this year, especially towards the end of the year. It has really heated up. And spending time with you, thanks for sharing time with us. Thanks for joining us for yet another show. And until next time, keep safe, have a happy and prosperous 2022, and always remember...